Wednesday night, and Gary did an outstanding job in Sunday school. He didn't steal all my thunder, just a little bit of it. Covering Daniel chapter number 10. And there's something that we actually discussed a little bit Wednesday night that every time I read through it, I come up with a different idea. And you'll see when I show you a little bit. Daniel chapter number 10. But there's one thing I want to focus on. And really, what I want you to see is, and we'll get to the text here in a little bit, in the message, but we talk about, am I on? Oh, junior church, I'm sorry. Go downstairs, kids. Get out of here, kid. So, Brother Rex, take the kid, or no, who's got it today? You do? Okay. Brother Rex and us old guys take a little while to get up. You notice the little kids jump up and take off, but one of my grandkids a while back, we're sitting in the living room and he goes, I'm going to stand up like Grandpa does. Slow motion. Shut up, you little whippersnapper. Oh, that's not nice, is it? Oh, boy. Daniel chapter number 10, we talked about the spirit world. And that's what Daniel 10 is all about. It's a world that we really know very little about. We think we know some things, but we really don't know. If we could know what's going on in the spirit world, every one of us would go to the basement and cover our heads and hide. If we really knew what was going on. What we see is in the flesh, but there is a world of the spirit. And Daniel got a little glimpse of that. I want to take a little glimpse at that today. And I noticed that we mentioned, and Gary mentioned it again today, and I'm not in complete agreement with him. In fact, I'm not in complete agreement with what I said Wednesday night. In fact, every day as I read it, I'm in disagreement with what I said yesterday. But there's an angel, a man, that appeared to Daniel. Who was that man? And actually, when you look at it, it could have possibly been four different men. Some say it was Jesus. Some say it was an angel. Could have been a few angels. In fact, in verse number five, as Daniel was in prayer in the first couple of verses, you know how that is to pray and seek God. Verse number five says, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen. Who was that man? You know what I came to the conclusion of last night and today? That man introduced to us in verse number 5 and all the way down through verse number 9 was Jesus Christ. That was Jesus Christ. By the way, has he ever appeared to you in prayer? Oh, what a precious time it is when he shows up at prayer time. It's a sacred time. You're afraid to share with anybody. You know what an experience that is. And then we go down to verse number 10. And by the way, in verse number 9, here's worship of that man. Verse number 9, yet heard I the voice of his words. And then I heard the voice of his words and was I in a deep sleep. You understand what that word sleep means? It means oftentimes the Bible is talking about death. I fell down, as Paul says, oh, I were dead. I fell on my face and my face toward the ground. That's what worship is. Now, in verse number 10, it says, and behold, a hand touched me. It doesn't say that it was the hand of that man that he was just bowing down to, but a hand. Could have been a different hand, different person. That's very possible. I came to the conclusion here that verse number 10 is referring to an angel of God. And he talks about the fightings, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him. And Michael, but then down in verse number 10, and by the way, in verse number 15, when he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. There again is worship. That worship doesn't necessarily direct it to the angel. If that was an angel and he was worshiping the angel, just like John, when he bowed down to worship the angel grabbed him by the shirt collar and said, stand up, I'm a servant of God. Worship God. But I don't know. It doesn't say that he was worshiping the angel, but he fell on his face. There's worship to God. In verse number 16, and then it says, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. I came to the conclusion there, that's another angel. Not necessarily the same one that just touched him, now another one. Could be the same one, could be a different one. We're just told another an angel, or one like the similitude of the Son of Man, or the sons, plural, of man. Oftentimes that phrase is used in the Bible to speak of an angel. Again, I set my face toward the ground. I became dumb. And behold, and then, verse number 16. I jumped back a verse. I'm going backwards. He touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord. Well, it's a small L there. That gives us something. But verse number 18. Notice again. There came again. And touched me. One like, notice this, the appearance of what? A man. The appearance of a man. And he strengthened me. And I love this in verse number 19. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. If you're familiar with the New Testament, when Jesus appeared after his resurrection, what did he say? Almost word for word. I believe this man's Jesus again. But wait a minute. There's a question. Verse number 20. Then said he, "And knowest thou, therefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia." Well, wait a minute. This man's fighting with the angel. Can't he just say, zap, and those angels are gone? By the way, he can say that to me, too. He could say that to you. And by the way, Jesus is still interceding for us. That's his ministry still today. He's interceding for us. He's restraining the devil today. That's one of his works, one of his ministries. And when we're raptured out of that, the Holy Spirit actually is the person of God that's restraining the wicked one. And we talk about the second coming of Christ. When we are snatched out of this world, the Holy Spirit's presence indwells believers is going to be snatched. Not that he's dead, not that he's gone, but he's no longer restraining the works of the devil. In a sense that we say it sometimes in vulgarity, in reality, all hell will break loose. The devil himself will take over this world for a period of 7 years because that restraint is gone. Only he that now letteth will let, or he will let go of the rein to say, okay, devil, you have at it. That's the 7 years of tribulation. And by the way, today is, we look at the last chapter and talks about the 70 weeks of Daniel. Today, according to our calendar, and we talk about the different calendars that the Jews use and the calendars of prophecy, according to our calendar, today is, the religious world calls it what? Palm Sunday. That word's not used in the Bible, but we call it that. Or the triumphal entry. Again, a term that's not used in the Bible. I kind of like to call it the triumphal rejection. This is the day when Jesus, the Messiah, was cut off. According to Daniel's prophecy, when he was the final rejection of those that said, he's our king, but we don't want him. Daniel said, the Messiah is cut off. And then, of course, his crucifixion. But then, praise God, his resurrection. Verse number 21, and on to the next chapter. And I'll say this, chapter number 10, 11, and 12 are best studied altogether. I'm just going to say that, and we jump into the first couple of verses of the next chapter. But there's something I want to zero in on this morning. The first time I read this through this week, this thought hit me. And I've been focused on it all week in verse number 21. But I will show thee that which is, no, this is an angel or the Lord. I came to the conclusion today. Tomorrow I might come up with a different conclusion who that man was. Today I think it was Jesus. Earlier in the week I thought it was an angel. But anyways, whoever this person was that was speaking to Daniel said, I show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there's none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Notice he talked about the prince of Grecia, the prince of Persia, but now he says Michael, by the way, is our prince. Daniel, Michael is your prince. Hey, Christian today, Michael is our prince. He is the prince of angels. And of course, Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he mentions Michael by name. And verse number 11 says, also in the first year of Darius the Mede. Now, time-wise, we're skipping around here. If you're familiar with the timeline of the third year of Cyrus the Persian in verse number 1 of chapter 10 and now in chapter 11, but these chapters do go together. Even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now, and this is still the angel or the pre-incarnate Christ speaking to Daniel, and he says, and now will I show thee the truth. I'm just going to stop right there. In verse number 21, he mentions the scripture of truth. And in verse number 2, he mentions the truth. What is he talking about there? What is the truth? We live in a world today that says there is no absolute truth. The Bible says where there is no vision, where there is no absolute truth, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. If there is no absolute truth, thus saith the Lord, all that's left is perishing. That's what we see happening in America today. You want a commentary on what's happening? There it is right there. Where there's no absolute truth. Well, your truth and my truth. Well, this Bible, that Bible. Well, I think this, or you think this, or so-and-so thinks this. There's no absolute authority. Where there is no king. Where there is no supreme ruler. And let me tell you, I found the truth. The truth you hold in your lap this morning. This book is the truth. And let me say, when I say the truth, I'm talking about the Bible that has been, in fact, it's the most amazing book that's ever been put together by man, let alone the fact that God is the one that was behind it. The English language is a unique language that did not exist till over 1,000 years after the time of Christ. And yet God chose that language to spread the gospel throughout the world. In fact, the great missionaries, the greatest missionaries you read about in history came from English-speaking countries. That's no coincidence. They came from England, they came from America, and they spread the gospel. That was the age in the book of Revelation of Philadelphia, the mission age. As we look at those, I won't get into that, but that was the age. And by the way, we've gone on from that age to the age of Laodicea, which is exactly what we're talking about. There's no truth. The people decide what is true and what is false. But this book that we hold in our hand is an amazing book because out of that language that's unique of all the languages of the world, by the way, it wasn't God's language that he gave the Bible in, but it was one that was used by God in no other language in the Gentile world. And God chose a king named James. A lot of question about him, and James decided because there were so many English Bibles being used that in his eyes and most people's eyes, they were good. They were undecided which one's the best. So he rounded up over 60 originally of the greatest linguists, the greatest scholars of languages in the world. Never before has this happened, and I don't believe it ever will happen again. The most intelligent men that he could find. and gathered them together, and he said, I want you to do one thing. I want you to give us, from the original language that God gave the book, give us an English Bible that would make everything come together. Try to think of 40 people, or 60, that they started out, over 60 to begin with. And it's interesting that these men, nobody really knew it. Nobody really cared. Nobody really knew much about them. And they wouldn't want you to know about them, because they were also, that's why they were wise, because they were humble. They didn't want recognition. Nobody even knew who they were till later. They thought, who were those guys anyways? And now you hear all kinds of crazy stories of who they were. But they were no doubt the greatest men that ever, in that era, the most intelligent men. And they came up with a Bible. You don't let this throw you too bad. Well, I want to get into all the details. There's so many things you can get into there, but I would just say that this book that I hold in my hand, I have no doubt that this is the Word of God. Any other Bible in the English language is inferior to this one. And I'll just say it, and history proves that. Practicality proves it. Reality is, that is. And I'll say, this book has transformed my life. I was going to try to sing this song again the right way. Thank you, Bethany, for trying to help me out to sing it. And I messed it up when I tried to sing it, so I'm not even going to try to sing it again. I got the words here somewhere. I'm just not sure where I put them. I have them right here with me. My Bible I left on the church bus. Oh, that's not the song I want. Did that fall? You have it? I had a copy right here. You want to come up and play it? No, I won't do that. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, that chorus we've been singing, I purposely chose that chorus because of the book of Daniel, specifically chapter number 10. The words, the entire verses say this: I found the book, authored, with many authors, yet one, inspired all its pages to tell of God's Son. Prophets had promised what the angels proclaimed, the virgin-born Savior, Jesus Christ is His name. I found the book that tells the sweet story of Jesus, my Savior, resplendent in glory. With great love He has loved me, all my sins He took. I sing of salvation, for I found the book. He walked Calvary's mountain all the way to the cross. Forsaken by God, He suffered great loss. That one line right there I want to preach on next Sunday for Resurrection Sunday. Then a journey through hell for me He took. I know it is true, for I found the book. I found the book that tells the sweet story of Jesus, my Savior, resplendent in glory. With great love He hath loved me, all my sins He took. I sing of salvation, for I found the book. He rose from the dead on that first Easter morn. The truth is the truth in spite of the scorn. He's coming again with a mighty trumpet sound. This too is taught in this book I have found. I found the book that tells the sweet story of Jesus, my Savior, resplendent in glory. With great love He has loved me. All my sin He took. I sing of salvation, for I found the book. I'll leave your book here. In fact, while I got halfway through that, I remember this is something your mind does. After you forget something, then you remember it later when it's a little too late. I know where my copy is right now. It's in the front of my Bible. Mine's right here. Because there's something else. And I'll just say this, that this book has been the book of my life for over 50 years. And there's only one Bible that I know of. In fact, I've worn out a number of them. I had to look in one of my old Bibles. I used to, years ago, I got in the habit of buying a new Bible every year, a different type of study Bible, always the King James Version, and read through that Bible that year. And with all the notes and everything, and I've done that for years. And then I finally got to where, okay, I really like this one the best, and this is the one that I have now, but this one's wore out and that one's about ready to retire. So I had to look at this one to find a poem that has always been special to me. I'm not going to trust my memory. You know how that works. It's called My Old Bible. Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in this blessed old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many tokens of love from my Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide, 'tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind when I read it and heed it each day. To this book I will cling, of its worth I will sing, though great losses and crosses be mine, for I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. Oh, how I love this book. In the front of my Bible, I usually tape things because when it starts falling apart, those pages at the beginning, they have all the copyright, they start to crumple. So I found the good thing is to tape something there. In my Bible that I've used now for a few years, and it's about ready to retire. Oh, I love these, my songs that God gave me. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care. And bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer. All those precious hours of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his throne, seek his face, I'm sorry, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee. Sweet hour of prayer. Sometimes those hours of prayer are so special they just overlap and you just keep going. What a friend I have in Jesus. All my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace I often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain I bear, all because I do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have I trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? I should never be discouraged if I take it to the Lord in prayer. Can I find a friend so faithful who will all my sorrows share? Jesus knows my every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Am I weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care, precious Savior, still my refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. I've got a few other things there, but I won't go with all of them that have just been special to me. But I found a book. And all of that I say about this book that I have found, may I dare say what Daniel's talking about, the scripture of truth, is not talking about this book. It's talking about a greater book. But wait a minute, I thought you said this is the greatest book there is. Oh, there's one much better than this one. And that's the one that the angel or the Lord showed Daniel. In fact, he showed it to somebody else. He even opened it for someone else. He didn't open it before Daniel, but he showed him the book. And he told him what was in that book. That book that he's talking about is a book that's in heaven. That tells everything that God knows. That's got to be some kind of a book. Tells everything that ever has happened, everything that ever will happen. By the way, there's a number of books in heaven. We only have one from heaven. And that's this book that we hold in our hand. This is all that God needs us to know for now. There's a whole lot more to come. And there's a lot of folks today, oh, I found this, the silly Christian fads. They'd be funny if they weren't so sad. The new one now is, Don just showed it to me, and I heard somebody else talk about the Ethiopian Bible. That's it. That's the new fad now. Do you know that there's another book they found that's more? No, this is the book. God's got it sealed and sent to us. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. That's all we need. And then the Holy Spirit of God that will teach us in this book. I've watched the fads come and go, and it's really ridiculous how gullible God's people are to go buy the next trinket or whatever they come up with, and while they're making merchandise out of us. But we found the book. But this book that Daniel's talking about is something different. I mentioned someone else who got to see this book of truth. And by the way, John even said if all the things that were written but Jesus did, earth itself could not contain that book. That's how big this book is just during the earthly ministry of Jesus. Think how big it is of all he did in eternity past and eternity future. That's got to be some kind of a book. And Jesus said that this book, John, or Daniel, is going to tell you what comes. And God gave him a glimpse of what's going to come in the end times. And all we need to know is found in the Bible. We don't know all the details. I don't know if Daniel was given any more details in what he wrote, but he gave us enough. In fact, we're given more in the New Testament. If you turn to the book of Revelation, my favorite chapters of the Bible, and I look to think of these chapters every day and long for this day when I will see these in real time, in real life. In John, Revelation chapter number 4, I want you to see something. In Revelation chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1, we're going to read a little ways here because I want you to see this, and this will be where we end. Oh, salvation's told in this book. Think of what would happen to the gospel if we didn't have this book. If we didn't have a source of truth. Look at what all the religions have done with the gospel. Look at all these so-called Christian religions that tried to destroy this Bible. I like what someone said. I've heard it quoted from a number of people. I don't know who said it. If you don't know who said it, Abraham Lincoln said it, okay? The Bible has survived the hatred of its enemies and the ignorance of its people. But it still stands. The Bible is true. The Bible cannot be destroyed, but there's even a greater book. And I want you to see it because John got to peek inside of its cover. Oh, what a book this is. In Revelation chapter number 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet. Again, Jesus appeared. And by the way, this book is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The revealing of Jesus Christ. Just like this book was given to us to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is about revealing Him in the book of Revelation. It said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. By the way, I believe this with all my heart. I didn't come to this understanding until fairly recently. When I die, the first thing I'm going to see is what's described in Revelation 4 and 5. I used to think, well, we're all going to have to wait till we see that. But when you consider the fact that with God, there's no such thing as time. What John saw is the same thing you and I. As soon as somebody takes their last breath, this is what they're going to see right here. Now look in verse number 2. And it says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. We're going to be there in the flesh, by the way, when we're raised incorruptible like Him. But He was in the Spirit. Behold, oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Who was that on the throne? Can somebody tell me? God the Father. And notice what it says. And he that sat upon the throne was like jasper and a sardine. I don't know how to pronounce these names, okay? I don't want to say sardine because that's what comes in a can. And I don't really like them. So it's got to be a sardine, all right? A sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne there were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders. The book of Revelation describes them later as representing all the saved of all the ages. 24 because there were 12 sons of Jacob, and then 12 apostles in the New Testament. So that's why we come up with the number 24. They represent all the saved of all the ages, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. There's the Holy Spirit. So now we see God the Father on the throne, the Holy Spirit encircling the throne with the saints of God from all ages. In verse number 6, Before the throne there was a sea of glass of great calmness. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne there were four beasts full of eyes. These are what Isaiah saw, by the way. When the earth was shaken. And isn't that an amazing thing? The sea is perfectly calm, yet even the earth, the foundations of the earth are shaking. And yet the sea is perfect. There's our God. He's all powerful, but He's all calming. What a great God we have. And then in verse number 6, I guess, is where we left off. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, there were four beasts full of eyes and before and behind. These are the four angels that Isaiah saw. John calls them beasts. The first beast was like a lion. The second, he goes through the description. I'm going to skip down for the sake of time. And these 24 elders, and when these, verse number 9, we'll go to there. When these beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Isaiah says these beasts, these angels were crying out, holy, 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 Lord God, for all eternity. They're crying out the holiness of God. And then in verse number 10, the 24 elders were in that number, fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him. Notice again, there's worship. That liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Wait a minute. What about the book? Well, we're getting there, okay? Hang on. Look at chapter number 5. And I saw in the right hand of Him, who's the Him we're talking about? God the Father. In His right hand, Him that sat upon the throne, a what? A book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. There's a book in his hand, but no one can look at it. Daniel was given a glimpse, or at least the angel or the Lord told him what's in that book, but he didn't get to look inside of it. But he's holding that book, and no one was able to take that book. No one was going to open that book. I've heard all kinds of explanations of what that book is. Most people explain, well, that is the title deed of earth. No, that is all of the wisdom of God, is what I believe. And I believe it's the same book that Daniel was told of, the book of the scripture. Of truth. And no man hit in verse number 4. You talk about the extreme high to the extreme low. John says, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book. That book has a story that I need to know beyond what the Bible, we see through a glass darkly. We've got part of the truth, all the truth we need for this life. But there's a truth in the next life that we need to know, that we need to understand that God has for us. And he says, I wept much because no one could take the book and open it. And then one of the elders said unto me, I wonder if that was Daniel. Huh? One of the elders said, hey, don't weep, don't worry. There's someone that's going to open that book for you. Someone that's going to show you what's in. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who's that talking about? That's Jesus. The Root of David hath prevailed and opened the book and loosed the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. Oh, there's Jesus Christ standing before the throne, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the spirits of God set forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Took the book out of his Father's hand because of the price he paid on Calvary. Because he rose from the dead, he alone is able to take that book and open that book. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. There's something else that's in heaven. Every prayer that you've ever prayed, God records. Every tear you've ever shed, they're in that vial. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, every tongue, and people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, not just the four now, there's a lot of them joining in, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. That's a whole lot of people in that choir, isn't it? And every creature which is in heaven and on earth. And notice this, and under the earth. What's that speaking of? Even the devil knows that God is the ultimate victor, that He is true. When Jesus was here on this earth, when He met demon-possessed men, they fell on their faces before Him and cried out, "What do we have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of..." They know who Jesus is. They're trying to hide Him from us, but they know who He is. And the four beasts, where am I at? Which verse did I stop in now? What is it? Verse 11. "Behold, I heard a voice of many angels round about the beast and the four elders and the number of them." I finished 11. Okay, verse 12. "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne," that's God the Father, "and unto the Lamb," that's God the Son, "forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. Now let me tell you, the rest of the book of Revelation is all about Jesus taking that book, that scripture of truth, and breaking one seal at a time. The next chapter starts, "And I saw the Lamb open one of the seals." Then He's going to open, the book had seven seals. He opens one, reveals what's in it, then opens the next one. In other words, John got a glimpse of what's in that book. And God gave us a summary of what's in that book. Certainly it can't be all that's in that book. That revealed not, and this is the idea of the truth of prophecy. Prophecy is not for us to figure out what's going on in this world. Prophecy is given to reveal to us Jesus Christ. The law was given to reveal to us our sin and then to reveal to us Jesus Christ. Everything that happens in our life happens for a purpose, and it's all given to reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the revealing, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ given by the angels unto John to record to us so we can know, hey, God is in control of all things. God knows what He's doing. And if we want God to work in our lives, we've got to come to Him on His terms. Not our terms. Sometimes we think, oh, we got this all figured out. I don't have the first thing about the Christian life figured out, but I know a God who does. I'm just a little peon. I think of these little, who am I? Some people are so wrapped up in recording. I got family members that want to record every little detail about their life, and they're going to write their life story. It's like, who cares about my life? All I want to know is Jesus. And I'm like, oh, this happened and that happened, and it doesn't matter what happened to me. All I want to know is Jesus. Because everything that happened to me is just so I could know Jesus a little bit better. And everything that I do in this life is centered around Jesus Christ, since He is my Savior. And He gave me a book that I can hold to, that I can cling to. Years ago, I determined that this book, if it's the Word of God, it ought to be the most important thing in my life. And by the way, yes, it is the Word of God. "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. This book that we call the Bible is our only source of truth today. Don't you let anybody take that from you. Don't you let anybody rob you from that. And we ought to put it in our heart. James talks about the engraved word of God. That's why we memorize Scripture. That's why God speaks to us. Oh, if I could tell you the times of speaking in prayer, and I don't even want to go there because it's such a sacred time when God smote me on my face before Him, and then He shows up. And you know what He does when He shows up? He says, turn to this chapter and read there for a while. And I said, oh God, there's some good messages there. Can I preach them? He said, no, sit down and shut up. I don't know, maybe God doesn't talk to you that way. Sit down, shut up, and listen to what I'm telling you. And you get down and say, oh God, that was so good. And He says, I want you to thumb over here and look at this section of Scripture. Oh, God, there's some... Man, can I preach that one Sunday? No, sit down and shut up. This is for you. And oh, and God just takes you through the Word of God and how He uses this book because it's precious, because it's real. And it all started at that day when I decided... I heard the preaching of the gospel for the first time in my life, though I grew up in church, never heard anybody preach the gospel before. I was scared when I walked in a Baptist church the first time because I thought the roof was going to collapse. I was warned about those kind of churches. Two kinds of churches I was warned about in the church I grew up in. A church where they worship the devil and a Baptist church. And that is no exaggeration. I was warned about those two churches. And I'm going to a Baptist church. Oh my, what are they going to have in here? And I heard the gospel for the first time in my life, clearly proclaimed from the Scripture. And I thought, I got to start reading the Bible. I could understand it. At a reading grade level, about a third grader, and I was junior in high school. Too embarrassed to tell anybody that. I couldn't read the Bible, so somebody said, well, you got to get one of those new versions. So I call it now the hippie Bible. Some of you might remember from the 70s, they had a Bible with pictures of hippies on it. It was cool. called The Way, man. It was The Way. Dude, we're going The Way. It had pictures of hippies all throughout it and didn't care for the words. I still didn't understand the words. They made sense. The words did, but I didn't understand what they're talking about. I did like the pictures in there, though. Flower children and everything. Oh, God's groovy, man. God's good. And I thought, oh, my, that still doesn't help. But I tell you what helped. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then I opened the book again. I got my old King James Version of the Bible and opened it up. And I thought, this makes sense now. You say, well, I can't understand those words. I not only couldn't understand the words, I couldn't read. Till God opened my eyes. Oh, it's still not. There's a lot of things in this book I don't understand. Some things I probably never will understand on this side of eternity because it's written by God. And God said, here's something you can search the rest of your life and you'll never exhaust the knowledge that's in here. But I've got a better book in heaven. This is just the primer book. This is the kindergarten, Johnny and Spot and all those books. Some of you are old enough to remember those books that we read in kindergarten. See Johnny jump, see Spot keel over. No, what? I don't know. Remember, that's what the Bible is compared to the book in heaven. Not to belittle this Bible, but this is all God wants us to know, and this is enough. I've been asking God, God, is your grace sufficient? Our theme that I chose a few years, I find God's grace amazing. To be kind of honest, I've been in places where I said, God, I'm not so sure your grace is amazing. Oh, yes, it is. Just trust me. Just trust me. That's where revival starts, when God breaks you. When you allow yourself to be broken so God can rebuild you. So God can remake you. And it's all because we give ourselves to this book. But, oh, I'm looking forward to the next book. It's above my understanding right now, but one day I'm going to be able to read it. I'm going to sit down with John and read it. John just kind of gave us a summary here. You know, when you read a book, I got through college reading novels like this. You can find on the back cover of a book, it's got a summary of the book. Hey, if you read that, you kind of got an idea of what it's about. It's good enough, isn't it? Right, Todd, you've been there. Huh? Yeah. Oh, my. And then Cliff's Notes, you remember them? Oh, boy, they were a lifesaver. Now you've got AI that does the same thing. It does summarize everything. AI is even better yet. It'll not only tell you what the book is, it'll write your paper for you. You have to do nothing. Just push a button. Hey, got that assignment done. Oh, my. But I found the book that tells the sweet story. That tells me of God's love and how He loved me and died for me and how He's coming back again for me. Have you found the book? Have you trusted in Him? Oh, if you don't get through, if you don't trust the God who gave us this book, you'll never know the God. And you'll never see that book that Daniel saw, that Daniel was told about, that John got to read parts of it and share parts of it with us as God broke those seals as He opened that book. But thank God for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Are you walking with Him? How real is He in your life? I'm going to ask you to stand.